Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life.
Well, before we get diving into what I have for us tonight, I think that it's pretty important that we kind of just really quickly touch on just a few things that Pastor taught on a few weeks ago, mainly because we're still in chapter 9 of Proverbs, and I've got a few things I want to close out here. So just before we dive into what I have for us tonight and closing out chapter 9 and what we were kind of looking at there, I want to touch on just a few things just real quick, if that's all right with you guys, just because I think it'll help make tonight's message just, again, just kind of more applicable. So again, we're in chapter 9, and Pastor Ashley had set up for us just kind of the idea that we're dealing with two conflicting sides that are pursuing us, that are calling out to us, that are trying to get our attention here. And those two sides are wisdom and folly. And they are both trying to get our attention because they're trying to offer us something. We had kind of covered all of what wisdom was about. And so tonight we're going to be diving into folly. But just three quick points I want to make sure that we've got before we continue on here. First thing here that I wrote down from the last time that Pastor Ashley preached is that the beginning of all knowledge is the fear of the Lord. Everything starts and begins for us as believers with a healthy fear of who God is. Now, what that means is that doesn't mean that we're afraid or that we're scared of God or that we're terrified at the aspect of Him, but we've got respect, we've got honor, we've got appreciation, and we've got God placed in the right position in our lives. And there's no truth for us that we can have. There's no more peace that we can garner without first coming to that conclusion, which is we need to have a healthy fear of the Lord. The second thing that I just want to touch back on real quick is that anytime we see wisdom being personified or being talked about, what's the connection for us who are now in the new covenant? Well, we've talked about this, and our go-to scripture for this has been 1 Corinthians 1:30. And it says this, it says, "It is because of Him," being God, "that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God." We've talked about this, but the point being is that Jesus Christ has quite literally become our wisdom. And that wisdom leads us into those three big things of salvation, righteousness, and holiness. And so that's an important key, especially as we continue to dive into this book. We've got to know that when we're talking about wisdom in the Old Testament, we're pointing ahead to Jesus Christ, who we're in with now in the New Covenant. Amen? Everybody with me on that? Y'all didn't forget that part. I'm sorry if I'm wasting time for you guys. I know y'all probably all had that still in your thinkers. And then the last thing here is this, is that wisdom is trying to provide for us a better life through godly lifestyles that teach us principles that we can apply each and every day that will garner us not only favor with God, but a deeper relationship with the Lord. That's what wisdom's trying to do for us. And I think if we can approach Proverbs with that kind of a mindset that wisdom is trying to do something in my life, thinking about Jesus Christ, God is trying to do something through my life, through the words that are literally written down in this book for us. Through these principles, if we'll apply them, we can see some good things come out of them. Amen. So those are just the three quick things that I wanted to talk about before we went ahead and we finished out this chapter as we begin to take a look at from wisdom and contrast it with folly. Now, like I've already said, folly is calling us. So let's see how she calls us and to what she is calling us to. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them up or on your phone or on your Bible app or whatever. Go ahead and get that open to Proverbs chapter 9, because we're going to be kind of line by line breaking this thing down. But we're going to go ahead and we're going to read this passage of Scripture, Proverbs 9, 13 through 18 here. Let's go ahead, let's start. Let's find out a little bit about folly. It says, starting in verse 13, "Folly is an unruly woman. She is simple, and she knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house on a seat at the highest point of the city, calling out to those who pass by who go straight on their way. 'Let all who are simple come to my house. Those who have no sense,' she says. 'Stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious. But little do they know that death is there, that her guests are deep in the realm of the dead. Now, I want to make sure that we're able to compare and contrast this. And in order to do that, we're going to look at the behaviors, actions, and character traits along with the ending result of wisdom side by side with folly. And we're going to take a really deep look here at what both these two things are trying to call us to, okay? Now, in doing this, I've got six line-by-line comparisons that we're going to make, okay? Now, in this comparison, we're going to see four separations from folly and wisdom, because there are a couple lines that it seems like, well, these are kind of close and similar. We're going to see four major separations between these two sides, and from that, we're going to see that the end result is going, one's going to want to lead us to life, and one's going to want to lead us to death, okay? So let's take a look at these two sides here, folly and wisdom. So the first comparison I want us to look at, wisdom in verse 1 of chapter 9. It says that wisdom has built her house, and she is set up at seven pillars. Now, let's compare that to folly in verse 13. It says, folly is an unruly woman. She is simple and knows nothing. Now, what can we gain just by reading those two things? Well, the first thing is this. It says, wisdom has built her house. In order to build something, you have to be disciplined. Anybody in here ever built a house before? Gone through that process of building a house? You got to be pretty planned out. You got to be committed to what you're doing. You've got to be able to be together on the ideas that you're coming together to do, and then this is what we're going to do, and you've got to be unified. You've got to be disciplined in order to build a house. And just right there, we see that wisdom has accomplished something. She's established something. She's built a house. She's been prudent enough to provide something to offer. Now let's compare that to the character of folly. It says that folly is unruly. I looked at the definition of unruly, and it doesn't have anything to do with a ruler. But it says that unruly means disorderly, disruptive, it's not amenable to discipline or control. So therefore, not only is folly different than wisdom in that it has not provided anything, it is the exact opposite of what wisdom represents. See, folly represents the side of undisciplined, of no order, disruption. It goes on to say that folly is simple and knows nothing. So we're already seeing here, this is the first clear separation. By this first comparison, we see a very clear separation between wisdom and folly in the character of that each one possesses. One is disciplined, one is not. One has order, one does not. Well, let's move on here to our second comparison here. Wisdom in verse 2 of chapter 9. It says, she has prepared her meat and mixed her wine. She has also set her table. Folly in verse 14, as a comparison, says, she sits at the door of her house on a seat at the highest point of the city. Now, wisdom here, it says, has prepared a place for us to come and to sit. She has prepared her meat, mixed her wine, and set her table. Now, we've already talked a little bit about who wisdom represents, that being Jesus Christ. And I have a really hard time thinking about, okay, if wisdom is a representation of Jesus Christ, she's prepared her meat, the body. She's mixed her wine, the blood, and she set her table, the cross, for all of us to come to. I just have a really hard time reading that scripture and not thinking about the prepared place, the thought that's gone into setting this up for us. Seeing again, we're looking at this, we're going from that character, and we're looking and we're seeing, okay, there's been some thought put in here. Now let's compare what wisdom does to what folly does. She sits. Now, we'll just sit right there and we'll think about that for a second. See, folly sits at the door of her house overlooking the city. Now, we're about to see why she sits here in just a second, but I want us to again be thinking, here's the second clear separation between wisdom and folly. We've already talked about that there's been a separation of character. Now we're beginning to see motive through their actions. This is a clear separation. And as we begin to get deeper into this, we're going to see clear motive through their actions of what they're doing. So one has prepared a place, and one is sitting, waiting for you to walk by. Let's see why. Verse 3, it says that wisdom has sent out her servants. She calls from the highest point of the city. Folly, in verse 15, as comparison, is calling out to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. Now, this kind of, again, makes the point of what we've been trying to say all along here in chapter 9. Both groups are trying to get our attention. Both groups are trying to get our attention here. So there's not really a clear definitive separation here because both are seeking our attention. But I do want to go on to the next line-by-line comparison in verse 4. And it says, "Let all who are simple come to my house. To those who have no sense," she says. Folly, identical. "Let all who are simple come to my house. To those who have no sense," she says. Wisdom and folly are seeking out the same group of people. Church, wisdom and folly are seeking out the same group of people. Who's being called? Yes, the simple. But it's the people who are in lack. The people who are looking for something different in their life. The people who are hungry for something. And see, again, as we've already seen, folly's really good at selling itself off as wisdom. It mimics the patterns. We've got two lines that are almost word for word of how they go about doing their things. But we're getting ready to see the revelation of those motives that we talked about earlier. Jump down to the fifth line-by-line comparison here. And we see verse 5, wisdom says, "Come eat my food, drink the wine that I have mixed." In comparison to folly, who tells us in verse 17, "Stolen water is just as sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious." Here begins the true nature of folly's call. Why was folly sitting around? Because she's not preparing a place for you. She's preparing a trap for you. Folly's laid a trap. She's sitting back. She's waiting and seeing, who's walking by that I can get to see, to be tempted over into this that I've got set apart for you? See, nothing of what folly offers belongs to her. Contrast that to what wisdom has. Everything that wisdom offers belongs to her. Her meat, her wine, her own table. But see, folly has to steal something and reposition it to make it look good and enticing to you and say, "This is just as good." But the only problem with that is that none of that belongs to her. And the trap of once you get in and you buy into that temptation of folly, in order to continue to stay and keep you there, you have to continue to steal more to get it. See, wisdom provided it herself. See, because the source that it comes from never runs out. But folly can only provide for you what it can steal and set up. And y'all starting to see this? Everything that folly offers can't sustain life. And that's where we get into this is the third separation here. We have two separate sources of fulfillment. One comes from a source that'll never run out. The other one runs out real quick. And it takes other things to continue to keep yourself satisfied there. And that leads us here into the last line-by-line comparison and then into the fourth separation between the two parties. Look in verse 6 what it says. Wisdom commands us, leave your simple ways and you will live. Walk in the way of insight. But folly, in verse 18, it says, but little do they know that death is there, that her guests are deep in the realm of the dead. And this is the big deal that really I could just probably stop right here and be done. See, wisdom isn't just knowledge. It's application of knowledge. We've been talking about that. See, whenever wisdom calls you to her, she's not calling you there to stay as you were when you came. Yes, you come as you are to the foot of the cross. Yes, you come as you are into the house of the Lord. But the Holy Spirit's hope for you is that once you've tasted and seen that what he has is better than how you were, leave your simple ways. Don't keep doing what you've been doing. Change and you'll have insight. Change and you'll be able to apply some of these things in your life. And what wisdom wants for you is for you to have life and to have it more abundantly. But folly calls for you, just enjoy this. Stay simple, stay comfortable, and you'll die. Folly's whole representation of an alluring life is a charade. It's a lie. And it's a lie that folly tries to work on anyone who walks by, anyone who's hungry for change in their life. Folly offers you an opportunity, a shortcut. You know, sometimes folly will even let you gain the whole world just so long as you'll lose your soul. You can live like a king on earth because whenever you go to hell, a king and a beggar burn the same. And that's where folly's trying to get you. Folly's trying to get you to get a hold of her temptation because in order for you to stay there, you're going to have to address that you need to change in your life. But in order for you to continue to stay there, you've got to do worse things that got you in the... We're going to keep getting into this. But this is the fourth separation between these two parties is the ultimate result that they both have for us. One calls us to life through change. The other one calls you to death through comfortability. Just stay comfortable. Just anything that you can do to please your carnality, anything you can do that just feels good. Well, why would you want to do all the other stuff? Why would you want to change? Folly wants you to be trapped. I think of, it doesn't really show this, but whenever I think about this trap, I think about a spider. And all folly's trying to get you to do is just get close enough to her web that you'll get stuck there, and it's too late at that point. You've already flown in. You're already trapped there. You deserve it. She wants you bound up in her illusion of fulfillment. Oh, this will make your life happy. Chase after this. Do this. Seek this thing. Seek everything else first, then the kingdom of God. Add everything else to your life, and then the kingdom of God. You eat at her house, but you're never filled. You drink more and more, but your thirst is never satisfied. The more stuff that she allows you to accumulate, the reality of how much you don't have sets in. And you have to steal more, lie more, and cheat more to stay in that place and stay on top and stay satisfied. The more acclaim that you desire to have with people, the more you realize you have to let other relationships that are more important die so everyone sees you as. Y'all following me? Everything that wisdom offers, folly has to offer up a counterfeit because she has nothing of her own. That's what we've been reading about. And it's a lie that's wrapped in an inviting package. And when you open it, you find that what you planned on it doing for you in your life, it doesn't quite do. And so we play this game. We walk into folly's house and we partake of what she said will make us happy. And we convince ourselves that this is going to be good for us. And then whenever it's not good, we go, well, wait a minute. I must have done something wrong. Let me try that again. And then the same thing happens to us, or the same negative consequences happen to us. And then we go, instead of saying, wait a minute, I don't belong here. We go, well, let me try that again. Let me do that exact same thing again, and maybe this time it'll work. And we play this game until eventually, over years and years and years of being dissatisfied and never filled and always thirsty and always hungry, it finally dawns on us that this is the wrong house. I'm at the wrong house. I've got to go someplace else. Our hope by going through this together is that we can cut that off before we've spent years and years and years at Folly's house. Because like the scripture even says, it says, those that are with her have no idea that death is actually there in her house waiting on you. Just through that door on the other side of the corner, death's waiting there with a baseball bat ready to beat you over the head with it. But we don't even see that coming. I think that it's an appropriate question to ask. If wisdom is a direct reflection of Jesus Christ, and we've already proven that, then who does folly represent? If wisdom brings truth and life, who does folly represent who only brings lies and death? John 8:48 says this. It says that the devil is the father of lies. When he speaks his native tongue. See, his lies, when we buy onto them and we are enticed by them, they steal away from us opportunities for growth, life, liberty, and they steal away from us our innocence. John 10:10 says that the thief comes only but to steal, kill, and destroy. It's very important that we make this connection. Going into the door of folly is allowing yourself to walk right into the devil's den. When we accept the invitation of folly into our lives, we are allowing the enemy a foothold in our life. And that's the only way he can get in. It's the same way that Jesus Christ, the only way Jesus Christ can get into your life is for you to allow him in. The only way that the devil can come into your life is for you to allow him in. So many Christians are concerned about the devil sneaking around the back door and coming through over here or finding an unlocked window and sneaking into your house. No, the devil comes right in the front door. When you just open up and say, come on in, we shouldn't be surprised when we get those. What's the old churchy saying? Do it God's way and you'll get his results. Why are we shocked and bewildered whenever we don't do it any other way but God's and then get anything else but not what we want in the long term? We shouldn't be. This shouldn't happen to us. If it's not God calling you to do something, who is it? There's only one other side. There's not like a middle ground team that's like, hey, we're just kind of in the middle. If it's not God calling you to do something, church, who is it? It's the enemy. It's the thief. It's folly, looking for an opportunity to see if they can entice you enough to get you to turn over some of your freedom to them so that they can mess around with it. If you knew that someone wanted to kill you, and I'm not talking about like, you know, how we like, if someone that you knew really was going to do you harm, would you invite them into your home? Okay, I'm going to go lay down, have your run of the place, whatever you want to do. Would you do that? Now, some of y'all are like, well, I conceal carry and I've got 500 guns. I'm not talking about a situation like that. I'm talking about if you really knew that someone really meant you, your family harm, would you invite them in and then go take a nap while they're in your house? Or on another side of it, if you knew that someone wanted to do you harm, would you go to their house and hang out? I would hope not, but this is where we find ourselves a lot as Christians. We find ourselves going, why is my life this way? And why is everything not going right for me? And why am I always dealing with sickness? And my family dealing with sickness? And we're just every left and right. I just feel like we're getting hit over the head by the enemy. You need to check your environment. You need to check where you're allowing the enemy to come in and have his run of your life. We should expect bad things to happen when we listen to falling. We should just expect it. Whenever it finally comes around, you shouldn't be shocked. You should just go, well, 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 if it isn't the consequences of my actions, come right on in and I'll accept. I mean, we should just be looking for it. I'm telling you, any of us in here who have lived long enough to where we've known that it's the devil telling us to do something, and we've gone ahead and we've taken that bait, we just know it's coming. It might be immediately, or you might receive the manifestation of your harvest 5 years down the line. But just know it's coming. And we've got to see that before it happens. We've got to see that before we walk into that door and go on through and get hit in the mouth. That's why it's so important that we understand and hear the call of the Lord. So that whenever someone else calls you, you know if it ain't him, it ain't God. And that's a voice I'm not going to follow. Deanne's dad, Danny, was telling me a story about how he had gone to another country whenever he was doing a lot of the stock dog training stuff. And he's real big into it and has flown all over the world and different things. And he was in a country where the shepherds lived real close to the ocean. And during low tide, they would allow all their flocks to go down and eat the seaweed. Just like free food, just come wash up every day. But whenever they would call their sheep back, each shepherd had his own call, and his own sheep would go back to where they'd had them trained so good that those sheep would go back to the farm that they were supposed to go to. They wouldn't go and mix up. They wouldn't even intermingle. They just said that he said it was the most amazing thing I'd ever seen. He said the sheep would literally just go back, and he was just telling me a story, but he was preaching to me. He thought he was telling me a really cool story about sheep, and he was preaching to me. That's how we've got to be. We've got to be so trained and so attuned to wisdom's call on our life that whenever we hear something else come, we know that's not wisdom. We know that ain't it. I know that that's not God. See, I hope that we could all say that we can recognize when we know it's the devil, but maybe you just haven't spent enough time listening. Maybe you just haven't spent enough time hearing. And here's the thing, that's unfortunate, but it's really easy to fix. Start reading the Bible. Start listening to podcasts. If you don't get it when you're in there on Sunday, listen to it again. And I'm telling you, anybody who gets up here, if you have a question about something, come ask. Because this is what we're here. We're here to make sure that you understand what we're going over here. But see, if we don't allow ourselves to, if we don't allow ourselves to listen to wisdom, if we don't know what wisdom's call is, see, we go back to that scripture, what did wisdom say to do? Leave your simple ways and change your life. But see, if you're not accustomed to hearing wisdom, that sounds kind of hard. That sounds kind of mean. You want me to change? You want me to change how I'm doing stuff? Do you not realize that you're 20-something up there, Chapman, and you're going to tell me that I need to change? Well, let me tell you something, bub. You ain't even lived long enough to... I've forgotten more stuff than you'll ever... But we get that. Well, like, we get that way. We try to... And we don't even realize that it's wisdom trying to talk to us. And we're running away from wisdom. I don't want to hear that. Can you believe that she would say that to me? So we quit the job that we should have had. We leave the relationships that God's trying to place in our life. We're going from church to church, and we can't find one because every place we go, they're trying to tell us the same thing everywhere we go. And it's like, I'm not trying to hear that. I'm trying to stay comfortable. Can you believe that that church says that homosexuality is a sin? Oh, that's pretty insensitive. I think I'll go to a different church. That's what people do. And they convince themselves that because that they're comfortable, they're doing the right thing. Just because you get chili bumps every time, the same time you sing Amazing Grace, that's not an indicator of how close your relationship is with the Lord. I'm just telling you, just because you feel good every time that you sing that song, that don't mean you've got it in your heart. Look, wisdom's trying to tell you to change your ways. And if there's a place where you get convicted, that's probably a good place for you to stay. But you've got to be trained to hear wisdom's voice, or else you're not going to receive it. We need to stop shunning wisdom because it doesn't feel good to us. Oh, my feelings. Oh, my fragile ego. Okay, understand this is for your good. Just change a little bit. Just change a little bit and see what it does for your life. But if you run away, you're going to have to keep having to steal. You're going to have to keep kidding yourself. You're putting your family at risk. You're putting your marriage at risk. You're putting your finances at risk. You're putting your health at risk because you don't want to change. And wisdom's trying to call out to you and say, change your life. Folly wants you to stay comfortable. I really think that someone needs to hear this, and I got this a long time ago whenever I first wrote this down, so I hope this doesn't offend anyone, but I really think that someone needs to hear this. Maybe the reason you lie awake at night has less to do with the devil tormenting you and more to do with the Holy Spirit saying, okay, finally you've shut up. Everything is turned off. You're in a quiet place where I can finally administer some conviction to you. And the Holy Spirit himself is trying to give you some wisdom about some things that you need to change in your life. And you're so not accustomed to hearing wisdom that you think that it's the devil trying to torment you on your past mistakes. I think that that's for someone. You need to listen and hear what God is trying to say in your life, because wisdom is trying to save you. Grace is trying to save you from folly. And that's why we're going through this study. It's so that a stranger's voice we will not follow. We want to get to the place where we have studied the voice of God so much that when he calls us, we know that it isn't him. That we recognize that's not God. I don't care who else it's coming from. I know it's not from God. I don't want it in my life. I don't make decisions all the time based on how does this most perfectly help my finances. I don't make decisions all the time based on how much time does this allow me to spend with my family. You're going, Chapman, you don't care about your finances, you don't care about your family. No. I'm not saying those aren't important. But the first thing that I do is anytime that an opportunity is brought up to me, I line it up with the Spirit of God that's on the inside of me that says yes or no. And then I take it a step further. Because again, like we've already talked about, folly or the enemy will allow you to live like a king here on earth so that you'll burn with everybody else. Don't take just because everything's going good for you in your life, don't take that as, all right, I must be doing everything right because I got the blessing of the Lord. Okay, yeah, every good thing comes from heaven, but if it's leading you away from Christ, it's not from heaven, believe it or not. If it's leading you further away, leading you and your family further away from the kingdom of heaven, it's not from God. And that's what wisdom's trying to say to us tonight. It's why we get to a place where we've got people saying, free everybody in jail and defund police. Let people come into the country, no questions asked, but keep those restaurants locked down. Because COVID, because science. That's why we've got men competing in women's sports and crushing it. Female empowerment. I'm just telling you, that's why we get to a place in our world where we have people that things are so topsy-turvy, is because people think what they're doing, well, that sounds like that would be nice. That's a terrible idea if you'll just let wisdom lead you just a little bit. It's the same thing in our own lives, guys. If we'll just take time to listen to wisdom just a little bit, it's not always big, major changes. Wisdom tries, believe it or not. God likes to do things in order because he's built his house and prepared a place. God likes to try to tell us things before they actually happen. So you're telling me God would prepare me for things that are coming up? Yes. Yes, he would if you'll listen. But a lot of times we catch our device after we're already going, Oh, okay, that's what you meant whenever you said that. Okay. Come ask me about my right eye and why I had a piece of metal go up in my eye. There are two sides calling us. One is calling you to life and life more abundantly, and one's calling you to death and destruction. Two paths. that they're wanting us to follow down. I don't know about you guys. I want life, and I want life more abundantly. Now, in order for me to go down that path and continue down that path, guess what? Every now and again, change your simple ways. Okay, I'm going to have to change that. Keep on going down this. If I'm going to keep going down it, change your simple ways. Okay. If I'm going to keep... And then at any point in time that I want to walk and go back this way, it's not God's fault. If any time if I end up going off-roading and doing my own thing and then getting lost, it's my own fault. Wisdom will guide you down a straight and narrow path that your foot won't turn on a stone. But we've got to hear his voice and know where we're going. Amen.
We hope that you have been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. If you are interested in more messages by Christian Ministries Church, then log on to our website at www.cmchurch.net and click on the podcast link.